We are looking at a sugya in Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Bet, toward the middle of the page, about five lines down into the wide lines. Just focusing upon the particular issue at hand, the Gemara says as follows. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Tinok ben Yomo Chai Mechalvin Alav et HaShabbat. David HaMelech Yisrael, Meit Ein Mechalvin Alav et HaShabbat. The Brayta says as follows, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said the following statement. A one-day-old child, a one-day-old infant, who is alive, we would violate Shabbos in order to save him if his life were put into danger. David Melech Yisrael, David the King of Israel, if he were dead, we would not violate Shabbos on his behalf. The Gemara goes on, Tinok ben Yom Chai Mechal Yalav at Shabbat. How do we know that a one-day-old infant, we would violate Shabbos for him? Amra Torah, Chalel Alav Shabbat Echad, Kedei Sheishmor Shabbato Tarbei. Because the Torah says, interesting, it doesn't give a proof text, it just says, the Torah says, violate one Shabbos for him in order that he will be able to observe many Shabbatot. David Melech Yisrael made Ein Mechal Alav. But David Melech Yisrael, if he's dead, we would not violate Shabbos on his behalf. Kevan Shemait Adam Batel Mina Mitzvot. Because since a person has died, he is no longer able to engage in the performance of the commandments. In looking at this sugya, it would seem that, as I always understood it, the indication is that we violate Shabbos. How can we violate Shabbos to save a life? Because we are violating Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos itself. We violate Shabbos so that this individual who can keep Shabbos now, if we don't save his life, he won't be able to keep Shabbos in the future. By violating this one Shabbos, for the sake of Shabbos itself, for the many Shabboses to come, we will violate this Shabbos so that many Shabboses will be observed in the future by this individual. Now, of course, as many of us know, this is not the only source that one would have for violating Shabbos in order to save a person's life. The Heter Pikuach Nefesh. In fact, we know that the Gemara in Masechet Yuma Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph has there a full discussion as to how we know Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. The view that we saw here is Amra Torah, that the Torah said you do it. Perhaps you can fill that in with looking at the Gemara Daf Pei Hei, where it says in Yuma, Rav Shimon ben Menasya Amar, how do we know that you violate Shabbos in order to save a human life? Shenemar v'shamaru v'nei Yisrael haShabbat la'asot et haShabbat, and the Jewish people will keep the Sabbath in order to make the Sabbath. Amra Torah chalel alav Shabbat achat kedei sheyishmor Shabbatot harbeh. There the source is v'shamaru v'nei Yisrael haShabbat. This is where the Torah is saying, in its double language of keeping Shabbos, violate one Shabbos so that there should be another Shabbos that is observed. There in that Gemara, we're also told, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, B'chai b'hem, b'lo shi'amu b'hem, that the source is another source from the Torah. It says that a person should keep mitzvot with the goal of being able to live by them, not to die by them. And therefore, one's life takes precedence, generally speaking, we know, over the fulfillment of mitzvot. Amar Rava, Rava says there in Masechet Yoma, Lekulu itlahu pircha bar b'dishmuel deletle pircha. And then Rava concludes that Shmuel's view of Achai Behem is the more acceptable view to why we understand that the saving of a life would overcome the violation of Shabbos. And it would seem from that Gemara that that is how we paskin. And yet, as we've said here again, in our particular case, in Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, so we see no introduction of V'chai Bahem. We see only the source of Amrat Torah and filling in from the Masechet Yoma, the Shamru V'Neis of HaShabbat, that this would be the reason why a life could be saved. If we look at the Aruch HaShulchan, in his discussion of the matter, this is in Siman Shin Kafet, the Aruch HaShulchan only mentions the notion of V'chai Behem below She'amu Behem. He does not introduce at all our Gemara or the view in the Gemara Masechet Yoma of Shamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbat. He rather goes with the general principle that we are familiar with of V'chai Behem as that being the source for the saving of a life on Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Shin Kaftet, while he in the Mishnah Brura itself goes with the notion of V'chai Behem, as he says, Gabe Pichuach Nefesh, Akila Rachmana, Tichi V'chai Behem V'lo She'amut Behem, Mashma Shelo Yuchal Lavo B'Shum Inyan Lidei Mitat Yisrael. We see that one is supposed to save, he says, a Jewish life in situations where there are conflicts with the mitzvot, and it's based on the notion of V'chai Behem. So far he's going in accordance with the Gemara and Yuma and with the view of the Ruch HaShulchan. However, in the Biur Halacha there, he introduces the notion of Shamru B'nei Yisrael HaShabbat that we have in our Gemara, again, is filled in from the Gemara and Yuma. And he points out that this notion would obviously have nafkaminas, would have consequences in terms of its being the major text for saving the life versus that of V'chai Behem. The Biur Halacha points out among the nafkaminas are the following. A mumar, someone who is a Shabbos violator, who is not a frum Jew. So if the notion of saving the life is because V'chai Behem, because we believe the notion of life takes precedence over Shmira Shabbos and other mitzvahs, so then even if the person is not observant and he violates Shabbos, still we would save his life. However, it's if the notion of violating Shabbos is that we violate Shabbos so this person will keep more Shabbatot in the future, so obviously someone who is currently not committed to Shabbos observance, and more than that he's a mumar, he mamish, is involved in violating Shabbos. So then to save his life, there'd be no heter to save his life, because we would not be violating Shabbos, as I explained earlier, for the sake, for the greater picture of preserving Shabbos observance in that person's life. We would be violating Shabbos so that person would violate more Shabbatot. That's one nafkamina, as pointed out by Biur Halacha. A second nafkamina, cheres shoteh v'katan. Individuals, the Biur Halacha says, who are not capable of fulfilling mitzvahs, someone who is mentally unstable, someone who is deaf and dumb, someone who is a child. These individuals, although one could question with regard to the child, I imagine, since in the future he will be keeping many Shabbatot, but at least at the present time, he would not, let's say the very next Shabbos, presuming a young child we are speaking of, he would not be keeping Shabbatot in the highest fashion possible. So he suggests that these individuals also, according to the Heter V'chai Behem, to violate Shabbos, to save the life, so then obviously these three would be included. But if the notion is that it's based on the Shamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbat, violate one Shabbat, so he will keep many Shabbatot, and this is not germane to these individuals. Another nafkamina by Biur Halacha, a goses, or someone who has chayisha only, someone who is in the death throttle, about to be taken from this world, or someone who's only going to live a matter of hours or days. And thereby, by violating Shabbos in these cases, if the heter is v'chai behem, we're interested in life, and that's the main approach we're taking, so then even a few hours, even if a person's a goseis, and on his way out of this world, still, whatever we can gain, whatever life we can hold on to, we should be able to hold on to. However, if the heter is that you violate one Shabbos, so that this person will keep many Shabbatot, if that's the case, so these individuals are not going to live long enough to keep another Shabbos, and thereby it would not be acceptable to violate Shabbos on their behalf. But it happens that in a pleiadic explanation, it seems to me, the Bir Halacha says that when it says we violate one Shabbos so that a person will keep many Shabbatot, he says it does not mean Dafka Shabbos. It does not mean that you violate Shabbos so that he can keep another Shabbos. It means, he says, that you violate Shabbos so that he can keep mitzvahs. It's Lav Dafka Shabbos, he says. He says any mitzvahs that a person can keep. That's the idea, according to this view, why you would violate Shabbos. According to our perspective, we said specifically that the whole thought and concept involved in this approach was that you violate one Shabbos so he keeps many Shabbos, so that you are violating Shabbos in the sense for Shabbos itself. For the sake of Shabbos itself, you're violating Shabbos, and that's why it's permitted. But he's saying you're allowed to violate Shabbos for the sake of mitzvahs. And lav dafka for Shabbos, so that he can keep many mitzvahs, not necessarily that he can keep many Shabbatot. If that's the case, you understand that, for example, would even apply, let's say, by goseis, by chai shah. He points this out, even in those two cases, where life seems to be very fleeting, and the person can only live, perhaps, for a couple of hours or days, still, you would violate Shabbos so that this person could do mitzvahs. Now, what mitzvahs could this person possibly do, let's say, if he's about to die? So he brings him a meiri, and he says a person can engage even then in the mitzvah of tshuva. We know hihurei tshuva, the idea of the desire, belev, in one's heart and mind to repent, that itself can accomplish a great deal for an individual, and consequently, so even this mitzvah could be fulfilled. Mitzvahs can be done even by such individuals, and the idea would be you violate Shabbos so that a person is capable of doing mitzvahs. It does not necessarily have to mean the keeping of Shabbos. In fact, the Bior Halacha goes even further. He says it's not specifically Shabbos, and it's not specifically mitzvahs. It's the idea of the possibility of kiyum hamitzvahs. That the idea that you violate Shabbos for the life of this person so that he will be able to keep mitzvahs, even if he is not going to be keeping them right now because he's incapable or incapacitated. Again, this is a plea tzuma, it seems to me, with relevance perhaps to the other nafkaminas as well that we previously gave, but it seems like a very strange explanation in the Bir Halacha. There's a seifa I notice as well called the Magadim Chadashim on Masechet Shabbat, who also questions this understanding of the Bior Halacha. Now let's move to the Rambam and see what his shita is. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, where one would think we would look first, the Rambam says at the beginning of Perek Sheni of Hilchos Shabbos, "Dechuya hi Shabbat etzel sakanan mipashot, kishahar kol hamitzvot." The Rambam begins by saying that Shabbos is pushed off when you have a situation of the threat to a person's life, just like all other mitzvahs. I repeat, just like all other mitzvahs. It would seem clear that what the Rambam is saying is that, therefore, there is nothing unique about the heter to violate Shabbos to save a life.
In other words, that the reason, just like for all other mitzvahs, is v'chai b'hem, the reason of Shmuel and Masechet Yoma, that human life is more significant, generally speaking, than mitzvahs, and therefore mitzvahs are to be violated in order to save and preserve a life. That is the general principle. Just like in all other mitzvahs, that's the principle. So too here, the Rambam, it seems, is saying that's the principle as well here. He does not utilize the notion at all of the Shamru v'nei Sarah Shabbat, that you violate one Shabbos in order that a person should keep many Shabboses. And in fact, the Rambam goes on in Halacha Gimel, and when he discusses the fact that Shabbos, when it is violated, should be done by Gedolei Torah, and there is no room whatsoever, he says, to delay when it comes to saving a life on Shabbos. He there says clearly, Shenemar Asher Yaseh Otam Adam B'Chai B'Hem, that these are the mitzvahs that a person is supposed to do in order to live by them, Velo Shiyamut B'Hem, and not that a person should die by them. So it seems clear that the Rambam is squarely going with this notion, a notion which he has already established, of course, in the Yad HaChazaka and Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, where there, with reference to the mitzvahs of Chilul and Kiddush Hashem, in the fifth parak of Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, the Rambam outlines there clearly the whole notion of saving one's life in a situation of being threatened to violate mitzvahs. Shenemar b'mitzvah asher yaseh ota adam b'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamut b'hem. So there, the same principle he established earlier is the same principle he establishes now with reference to Shabbos. Shabbos is no exception to the general heter of being able to save one's life when one's life is endangered in a situation where mitzvahs must be violated due to the notion of V'chai b'hem. Now, he would stop right there, and I would have nothing else to say, except for the fact that Rav Schechter points out in his work, B'ikvat Zon, this is on Daf Ted Zayin, he points out that the Rambam in Hilchot Mamrim, however, Halacha Dalid says something else in the Perek, second parak of Mamrim, Halacha Dalet. There the Rambam is discussing the notion of the power of the Sanhedrin, of the Beis Din, and what can it do in order to strengthen the laws of the Torah. And in that discussion, the Rambam says toward the end of Halacha Dalet the following, Kishem Shaharofeh, Chotech yado o raglo shoze, kedei sheyichye kulo, just like a doctor is allowed to amputate a person's arm or leg in order to save the entire person, kach beit din morim bizman min hazmanim lavor al ksat mitzvot lefi sha'ah, so too is it permitted for a beit din to instruct that mitzvahs be violated on a temporary basis, kedeshi kaimu kula, in order that all the mitzvahs, in order that the entire system shall be saved, kederech she'amru chachamim arishonim, just like the earlier authorities said, the great sages, chalel alav shabbat achat, kedeshi yishmor shabbato tarbeh. Just like the early authorities say, Fred said previously, that one should violate Shabbos in order to save a person's life so that he shall keep many Shabbatot in the future. And obviously it would seem to be a plea atzuma. What is the Rambam doing? We already said previously that we saw in Hilchot Yisod HaTorah that the Rambam says the reason you violate mitzvahs and for the sake of human life is because of v'chai b'hem. And then we saw, relevant to our Gemara, the Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says that just like all other mitzvahs, you violate them in order to save the life of a person. So too here, with regard to Hilchos Shabbos, it's the same thing, the same principle applies, that you violate Shabbos, v'chai behem, in order that person should live. And we said he seems to reject fully the notion of violate one Shabbos so he should keep many Shabboses in the future, as he does not bring that down in Hilchos Shabbos l'halacha. However, seemingly thinking he rejected it, now he revives it. Or let's say at least that he has kept the ball in play, if you will. The Rambam does not discard that idea that apparently he did not bring down the Hilchos Shabbos, we now see here. But in fact, he introduces it in order to teach a lesson concerning the need to violate sometimes a mitzvah in order to preserve the bigger picture of mitzvahs. Or why does the Rambam bring down this halacha in Hilchos Mamrim if we already rejected it there in Hilchos Shabbos? So I imagine we could either say one of two things. What I would say is that the Rambam in fact did reject this notion, and v'chai behem is the method that he's using to save a life on Shabbos. Why does he bring down the notion of violating one Shabbos so a person would be able to keep many Shabboses? Here he's just bringing that as an illustration. It's a halacha he rejected, but he's teaching us that even though the halacha has been rejected in regard to Hilchos Shabbos, still the idea behind the halacha, the idea of looking at the greater picture when indicating a need to violate a particular mitzvah, that idea is still valuable, and even though it's not the way we paskin in Hilchos Shabbos, still it is a worthy idea for consideration when the Beit Din HaGadol, when the Sanhedrin has to consider the life of Klal Yisrael, if it's necessary to apply this notion. But I would say in Hilchos Shabbos that the Rambam does in fact reject this notion, but over here he utilizes it for something else. However, Rav Schechter has another understanding. He believes that the Rambam does not reject this notion, and that in fact by including it here and keeping it in play, thereby he is able to include a nafkamina, for example, from v'chai behem, versus this notion we are looking at now of violate one Shabbos so he will keep many Shabboses. In fact, Rav Schechter points as a result to the Shiel Tot, the Shiel Tot of V'chai Gaon. So there he, in fact, with the Netziv's commentary on Amek She'ela, has a discussion exactly of this issue. And there says the Netziv that even though we hold, generally speaking, of a chai behem, v'lo she'amut behem, he says, however, if one would only utilize that, so one would not be able to save an ubar, a fetus, on Shabbos. Why not? Because since we have the notion that the reason you can violate Shabbos is in order to save a person's life, and he says that an ubar is not a person, an ubar is not a living thing, so thereby it would not be germane to be able to save the fetus based on v'chai behem. It's only if you introduce the notion of violate one Shabbos so that he will keep many Shabbatot. So there, even by a fetus, says the Shiel Tot, says approvingly Rav Schechter, and says Rav Schechter, as I understand as well, therefore by the Rambam, as the Rambam includes this for this reason, that thereby we can now stretch the notion of saving a life to an ubar as well, because by including violate one Shabbos so he will keep many Shabboses, even though the ubar is not a living being, nonetheless he will be able to keep many Shabboses in the future if we violate this Shabbos on his behalf. So thereby, that's why the Rambam would include it, to be inclusive as well as the notion of the ubar being able to be saved so that he will one day be able to keep Shabbos. However, I have a kasha upon Rav Schechter. as I understand him. My kasha is the following. There is no need to understand the Rambam as including Hilchot Mamrim, Bishamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbat, that you violate one Shabbos in order to keep many Shabbatot for this fetus in this case. There's no need to introduce this notion in keeping the Shabbos halachas related to this notion of Hilchos Mamre. No need whatsoever. Why not? Because we know from another area of halacha, we know from the area of abortion, the famous Mishnah on Olot, which says that you are permitted to save the life of the mother if she is in travail, even if by doing so you have to tear the fetus apart limb from limb, as it says. Why is it that you can violate and save the life of the mother while killing that of the fetus? So you know, Rashi says in the Sugya there in Sanhedrin, it's because the fetus is only a chatzi nefesh. The fetus is not a fully formed soul, a fully formed human being. The mother is. Because the mother is fully formed, a full human being. And a fetus is only a quasi-human being. So that's why you can save the mother, who is a complete human being, over the fetus, which is only a potential human being. That's what Rashi says. However, the Rambam Shita is otherwise. The Rambam brings this down by saying that the reason you are allowed to save the mother at the expense of the fetus is because the fetus, he says, is kirodef, is like a pursuer. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is the one who amplified, I think more than anyone, the meaning of this Rambam. If we're saying that the fetus is a rodef, that would mean that the fetus forfeits its life, and that's why you are allowed to save the mother at its expense. But notice that Rashi could say that the fetus is not a full being, and that's why the mother takes precedence. The Rambam, however, needed to invoke Rodef in order to save the life of the fetus. Why did the Rambam have to invoke Rodef? Obviously, because he could not say, as Rashi could, that the fetus is just a quasi-living being and not a full living being. Apparently, according to the Rambam, the fetus is in fact a full living being. A full living being. And that's why it's only because it's a rodef that you are allowed to take its life. And if it were not a rodef, then it would have an equal standing with the mother. Accordingly, there's no need to say, as Rav Shachter is saying, that the Rambam had to include this in order that he should be able to also save the life of the fetus. Because in any event, since the Rambam holds that the fetus is a living being, as we see from the laws of abortion. So thereby it's understood that the Rambam already has included in Vachaybehem, according to his Shita, the fetus, and there is no need for him to utilize Vishamaru in order to include the fetus in the halachas of Shabbos, of saving that fetus. And therefore, I return to my understanding that when the Rambam brings it down in Hilchot Mamrim, it is not in order to preserve the notion of that halacha and to utilize it with reference to Hilchot Shabbos. It is only to tell us that even though that halacha was rejected in regards to Hilchot Shabbos, still, Divrei Torah, as we know, Aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. So we know that in this place, however, by Hilchot Sanhedrin, there is a great value to the idea of violating one Shabbos, so that many Shabboses can be observed, with reference to a metaphor being put forth in terms of the actions of the Sanhedrin. I would now like to understand, just as a final thought, the question of saving the life of a non-Jew on Shabbos. Is the life of a non-Jew that is in peril permitted to be saved? Now, generally the answer is given that one is not allowed to do that. And certainly, if we would understand that this is based on the idea of violate one Shabbos, so that he shall keep many Shabboses, then it is clear that in no way can one violate Shabbos in order to save a non-Jew from this perspective? Because not only is it not true that you'd be violating Shabbos so that you could keep many Shabboses, because a non-Jew doesn't keep Shabbos. Moreover, a non-Jew is forbidden to keep Shabbos. So certainly, it would not be the notion, as we've expressed it, of violating Shabbos for the sake of saving Shabbos itself, of preserving Shabbos itself by many Shabbatot being observed in the future, because a non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos. What about the notion of v'chai b'hem, that you save a person's life because he will do many mitzvahs? So, while it's not generally put forth, we might understand that a non-Jew also has Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach. He also keeps mitzvahs. Moreover, we know that the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim that a non-Jew is allowed to keep mitzvahs, with the exception of Shabbos, with the exception of Talmud Torah, although in the Rambam the Tshuvas, the Rambam even allows non-Jews being taught Torah, if it's taught appropriately, as opposed to learning on their own. So, generally speaking, the Rambam says, if a non-Jew wants to keep mitzvahs, he can keep mitzvahs. So who's to say, therefore, we shouldn't be able to violate Shabbos for a non-Jew as well, especially if one wants to bring in the view of the Mishnah Brura and the Shamaru, that you violate one Shabbos. So he can keep many mitzvahs, says the Bir Halacha, although he only said it by a Jew. But we're not even using that viewpoint. We're saying from V'chai B'hem, the notion of V'chai B'hem, that you violate Shabbos in order to show the idea that a human being is more important than the mitzvahs, that would seem perhaps to be relevant to a non-Jew as well. In fact, let me point out that where we quoted the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, where we quote V'chai B'hem, V'lo Shiyamut B'hem, as being the general principle as to why you violate Shabbos to save the life of a person who's imperiled, the Rambam says, continuing in that halacha, halacha gimel, halamadata she'ein mishpatei Torah nikama ba'olam ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam. The Rambam says that the notion of the observance of mitzvahs in this world is for the purpose that there should not be enmity, that there should be mercy, that there should be loving kindness and peace in the world. And thereby, if a person's life is endangered, and there's all of this involved in terms of these issues being lost, mercy, loving kindness, peace, so then the saving of a life will take precedence over Shabbos and in general, with the exception of the big three of Avodah Zarah, Gilus Arayos, and the Ritzicha, then we know that saving a life will take precedence. And it seems that it could even apply here by a non-Jew as well. And by the way, also supporting this viewpoint of V'chai B'hem seemingly being relevant to non-Jews as well, we can point to the Kovetz Tshuvos of Rebbe Yashav. This is found in Or HaChaim, Siman Samech Tet. This is in Chelek Gimel of his Shilas and Tshuvos. There he says, quoting Gemara and Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Chet, it says, V'atanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Nochriv Osek B'Torah Harehu Kikoin Gadol. How do we know, the Gemara asks, that even a non-Jew who engages in Torah is considered to be on the same level as the Kohen Gadol, Talmud Lomar, Asher Yaseh Ota Adam B'Chai B'Hem, Ketiv. As it says, what we've been quoting, that the Torah tells us that these are the mitzvahs that a person shall do so that he shall live by them. The Gemara goes on, Leviim of Yisraelim lo nemar. It doesn't say it only applies to Leviim, to Yisraelim, Ela Adam. It refers to human beings in general. Halamata shafilu nochri ba'osek v'torah harehu kohen gadol. Therefore you learn that even a non-Jew who is begeder Adam, or if you want to say there's a famous chiluk of Tosos between Ha Adam, which is the pasuk, and Adam, but certainly it says here Ah Ha Adam, which Tosos hold includes all human beings. So thereby, this would seem to indicate that it refers to a non-Jew as well as being included in this notion of Vachai Bahem, as this being also relevant to non-Jews, and thereby it would seem as well that it would apply to the saving of the life of a non-Jew. However, I should point out, and this is significant, and we'll see more on this in a moment as to why there's a proof for this from the Rambam later, that Rabbi Yashav himself says that while we learn from this that Pikuach Nefesh is doche other mitzvahs in order to save the life of a Jew, so too it would be doche other mitzvahs to save the lives of a non-Jew. However, it would not say that one, a Jew, is allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save the life of a non-Jew. That's for sure, he says. It says that a non-Jew can save his life or other lives because of Vachai Bahem. He's included in that. But not that a Jew can save the life of a non-Jew. Although, I should point out as well that Rabbi Yashav says the reason you can save a Jew is because, interestingly, another reason he has to bring, why shouldn't Vachai Bahem be enough? He says, Atam lahatzil Yehudi mechuyav kol Yehudi bazeh bi'alav ne'amar lo tamal adam riecha. Because it says, with reference to a Jew, you're not allowed to stand around while your neighbor's blood is endangered, and therefore you have to save him. I should point out, however, that the Torah Tamima and others as well, I've seen, argue that the term Riecha, this is not the view of most authorities, but they argue the term Riecha doesn't necessarily mean only Jews, that it can mean non-Jews as well. Again, the Torah Tamima specifically says this, even his commentary on Pirkei Avos, regarding Chaviva Adam, Shenivra Bitzelem. We utilize, we know, many different possibilities, poskim do, to see why and if a non-Jewish life can be saved. Some use Mishum Eva. Mishum Eva, some have understood it to mean in a very narrow way, that it's only if you have non-Jews, we're going to see this, and it's going to lead to hatred, so you have to save the non-Jew's life. Otherwise, don't do it. Some understand from the Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem that the person's life has to be saved. Some say Mishum Eva, I have seen, is understood to mean Pikuach Nefesh Mamish. Otherwise, Mishum Eva, why should, because it's going to lead to hatred, you're allowed to violate Shabbos just because something's going to lead to hatred? Why? You can't do an Issa D'Oraisa on a level of violating Shabbos in order to save a life just because it might lead to hatred. No, it's going to lead to hatred, and the hatred may mean Pikuach Nefesh, that Jewish lives are going to be lost. And that is perhaps the heter Mishum Eva. But I'd like to give a deeper understanding of what Mishum Eva means. And it's in accordance with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's views on this. And Mishum Eva, I should point out, maybe doesn't only mean limited to Mishum Eva. Again, going with the Rambam here, that we want Rachamim, Chesed, Shalom. There's another term we utilize besides Mishum Eva. It's Mishum Darche Shalom. Like we know the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Aleph says that we are to give tzedakah to non-Jews and do chesed with non-Jews, visit their sick, bury their dead, mipnei darchei shalom, for the sake of the ways of peace. Again, I'm not positive how related that is to Mishum Eva, but I think there is a relationship between the two. Obviously, if you do not do these things, there would be Eva. So, mipnei Eva and Mishum darchei shalom, I think, are two sides of the same coin. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out beautifully that in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam was discussing that Chazal, because of Darchei Shalom, told us to act with kindness toward non-Jews, even to Avdei Avodah Zarah, even to idolaters. As the Rambam says, there is the end, or the very end of the 10th parak of Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam says as follows, also we're told to take care of their poor, along with, we said, visiting the sick, burying their dead, and so on. Why? Mibnei Darchei Shalom. Quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says Mibnei Darchei Shalom, Masechet Yidden. However, then the Rambam adds the following. The Rambam then says, Harei Nehemar, this is his own words, Tov Hashem Lakol, V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. God is good to all, and His mercies extend to all of His creatures. V'nehemar, and it also says, D'racheha Darchei Noam, V'chol Netivoteha Shalom, that its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. What is the Rambam doing by bringing psukim? The Gemara didn't bring psukim. Why is he bringing psukim here? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik suggests beautifully that what the Rambam is telling us, that one should not be misled to understand when we say that Mibnei Darchei Shalom, I would say Mibnei Eva, when we do something for the ways of peace, there shouldn't be hatred, that we're doing it as a compromise. You know, you have to have peace between people, you live among non-Jews, you have to get along with them, so therefore, Mibnei Darchei Shalom, Mibnei Eva, so in order to get along with them, so no, you have to compromise. What are you going to do? You have to help out their burials, you have to help out their sick, you have to help out by giving tzedakah to them. It's all, however, a compromise. No, says Rav Aaron. The Rambam is bringing these psukim to tell you this is not a rabbinic compromise, but a biblical mandate. He's quoting biblical verses. And in fact, says Rav Aaron, the notion of Tov Hashem Lakol V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav is an indication of trying to imitate God, of imitatio Dei, of the halakha of Yidurachav, of walking in God's ways, which according to the Rambam, certainly the Mordevuchim, is the entire purpose and goal of man on this earth, to come to know God to such a degree that one can model Him and imitate Him and be like Him, as it were. So I would like to suggest, especially as we said, since the Rambam uses the same lashon by saving a life on Shabbos, that the Torah's mitzvahs are not nekama, he says. They're not supposed to be there for vengeance, for anger, for violence, for enmity. They're supposed to be there for mercy and chesed and shalom in the world. Not just in Klal Yisrael, in the world. That I would suggest, perhaps, that the Rambam also would include Mibnei Darchei Shalom, that so too the saving of a non-Jewish life on Shabbos is also based on this notion. And it's not just a compromise. Again, it is a biblical mandate to do so in order to save the lives of non-Jews as well. I might indicate that it's reported that Rav Unterman, a former chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, also came to the same conclusion based on that same Rambam, and in fact utilized it in order to save the lives of non-Jews, he argued, on Shabbos. However, having said all this, I don't know what we do with Rav Unterman. I have tried to elevate the view of Rav Aaron to explain the Rambam by using my own application of his words to Hilchos Shabbos, but things can sound beautiful and just be absolutely wrong. And it is clear that with everything that I've said, that it is wrong in terms of understanding the view of the Rambam. One cannot understand the notion of Mibnei Darchei Shalom as being a biblical mandate and all that's involved in thereby showing chesed to non-Jews to understand that this would allow the saving of a non-Jew on Shabbos. The reason is because the Rambam says clearly that it's not so. The Rambam says in the second parak in Halacha Kaf in Hilchos Shabbos, Hayta chatzer sheyesh bo dekochavim umatzalot b'yisraelim, afil Yisrael echad ve'elef ov dekochavim umatzalot, v'naflu lehem apolet, v'papkin alakol mibnei Yisrael. The Rambam says that if there is a situation where there is a doubt concerning the loss of life of a Jew, even if there are thousands of non-Jews and there's just one Jew and there's a possibility that you could save the life of the Jew, you save the life of the Jew. But if there would just be a non-Jew, it's mashma that that is not Docheh Shabbos. The saving of the life of a non-Jew, according to the Rambam, is not Docheh Shabbos. That being the case, what about all that we said from the Rambam in Perek Sheni, Halacha Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, where he said, V'chai behem, you're allowed to to have the saving of a life of a person, because the whole notion is that human life overcomes ritual requirements. And we pointed out that the Rambam says, Halamata she'ein mishpatei haTorah nikama ba'olam. He said that the laws of the Torah are not for vengeance purposes, rather they're rachamim and chesed and shalom ba'olam. And so how do we understand that? So Rav Yaakov Neuberger in Beit Yitzchak, Volume 21, explains clearly what the Rambam means there, and it's Masha from the Rambam right there. He says that that's the Geder, that is the measuring rod the Rambam is giving us in order to understand the requirement to save a Jewish life on Shabbos and to do so as quickly as possible without any consideration whatsoever that, well, maybe Shabbos is more important than this person's life, maybe I shouldn't rush it, maybe I should go through a non-Jew. No. We know Shabbos is totally pushed off according to the Rambam. He says, Hareyu Kachol, it's just like a weekday when it comes to a Sakanas Nishpurifasho situation. And indeed, the Rambam says right after he says what we just pointed out, he says, Ve'elu apikorsim she'omrim shezeh chilul Shabbat va'aser. So he says clearly that there are those who want to say that because of the ritualistic aspect of Shabbos being so significant, you should not violate Shabbos even to save a Jewish life. The Rambam says, no, that's where the notion comes in of this being cruelty and not chesed and rachamim. A person should do everything possible to save life on Shabbos. That's what we're being told by these ideas in the Rambam. However, the Rambam says it only applies to a Jew. It does not apply to a non-Jew. It's clear. It cannot be said. Is there any other possibility then that the life of a non-Jew could be saved on Shabbos? The only other possibility, I don't see it brought down in a discussion usually of this question, but it was indicated to me by a work by Rabbi Moshe Halbertal, a very beautiful work, Vein Torah L'Chochma, on the Meiri. As we know, the Meiri Shita in general differs from other Rishonim with reference to his sensitivities to the non-Jewish world and how halacha applies to them. And this is no exception. This is on page 89 in that work. The Meiri is brought down in the same discussion where we saw the discussion in general of the question of the saving of a life overriding Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and other type of halachos. This is, if you look in the Beit HaBechira of the common edition that most people have, in Yoma, Amud Reish Yud Bet. So there, the different nusachos that are brought down in the footnotes as well. So there, in terms of our question of violating Shabbos in order to look for a Jewish life among those who have died, let's say, in an earthquake that we just quoted from the Rambam, where we're told that you can only do it if there's a Jewish life that can be found, but not a non-Jewish life. So there, the Meiri says as follows. He says, "Pikuach nefesh ein ochim bo achar harov, ketzad." Chatzer sheyubo Yisraelim v'ovdei alevim imahem she'ein anu mitzuvim l'chalel Shabbat aleihem achar she'ein lahem shum dat. He says we are not required to violate Shabbos for non-Jews because they have no religion, which is again in the theme the Meiri has in general in judging non-Jews, that the non-Jews that the Gemara was speaking of, he says, were non-Jews who were barbarians, who had no sense of law and relationship to society whatsoever. Those idolaters, those pagans, are the ones that the Gemara is speaking of, not the, even in his time, the Middle Ages, the non-Jews of our world. And therefore, by the way, Benusach Acher, there's another Nusach of the Meiri, it says, V'ovdi kochavi mazalot hakadmonim she'ein anu mitzuvim l'chalel Shabbat aleihem. Those ancient idolaters of earlier times where we are not required to violate Shabbos in order to save their lives. Achar she'ein lahem shum dat v'gam einam choshishim l'chovat chevrat adam. After these people are uncivilized, the Meiri is saying, and they have no concern for others, they have no religious spiritual character whatsoever, they have no concern for for the lives of their fellow human beings. So those individuals we are not allowed to violate Shabbos for. But the non-Jew who has a sense of justice and mercy and his own religious beliefs that we understand today are civilized in nature. So it's Masha from Meiri, that there, for those individuals, you could violate Shabbos. You should violate Shabbos. Indeed, being that Rav Aharon Soloveitchik, for anyone who has read his writings, we've quoted before, we have them online, concerning the relationships of Jews to non-Jews, he always utilizes the Meiri to be Somech on in our time. There's no doubt that he would also be Somech, it seems to me, on the Meiri as well, in order to allow for the saving of non-Jewish lives with reference to Chilul Shabbos. Just finalize this and conclude by saying that we have seen in regards to Jews and non-Jews that even by Jews there was a question if one could save such a person's life. Could you save the life of a Jew if he's not a Shomer Shabbos? We asked if a Shamru is being utilized. Could you save the lives of a Chereshot of a Katan? Could you save the lives of a Goses or a person who could only live temporarily? These were questions even asked by Jews. Could you save Jews, not just non-Jews? I might further add, I recall a Freemish Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, where discussing the Rodef idea that we introduced briefly before, that there is a Mishnah that discusses the question if you are allowed to kill someone before he commits one of the major crimes of murder, adultery, or idolatry. In other words, the notion being that such person is also a rodef. What is he being rodef? What is he forfeiting? He's forfeiting his own life away, and thereby you're allowed to save the person, by killing him before he violates this avera, before he violates this terrible crime, and basically throws his olam haba away. The question is raised there if you are allowed to do it by Shabbos as well, and perhaps we don't pask in that way. But nonetheless, you see that there is such a thought that even Shabbos being such a significant thought, that perhaps you can even kill a Jew in order that he should not violate Shabbos. Now, how could that be? But we just learned you save a Jew so that you violate Shabbos in order to save a Jew. But it's not a question of Jew or non-Jew. The question is that Shabbos, you see, God does not want Shabbos to be violated because it's such a critical principle in the existence of the world that it recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu as being the creator. We know that anyone who does not keep Shabbos is akin to being Oved Avodah Zarah. So even by a Jew himself, there was a notion that Shabbos is more important than the life of a Jew also. And again, going back to the idea that we started with in our Gemara, the thought that you violate Shabbos and save this person's life in order that he should keep many Shabbatot, you are not violating it because he's a Jew. You are violating it because this person will keep Shabbos. It's not essentially anything to do with them being Jewish or non-Jewish. It has to do with preserving Shabbos in the long run, and therefore you're allowed to violate Shabbos now. It's not a question that he's a Jew, which is a question because he's a Jew. It so happens he's going to keep Shabbos in the future. It's very subtle, this idea, but I think it's still an idea that we can appreciate. And again, we have the view of the Meiri in terms of the possibility for saving the lives of non-Jews as well when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, which I think is a critical aspect that we have learned through this year.